I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama. A cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsAndDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at NerdyShow.com. Welcome to Design Episode 48 of RPG from Scratch. We're getting up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're encroaching on 50. We're almost over the hill.
Yeah, we're going to be a middle-aged podcast. We're going to get a Ferrari, and we're going to start dating a podcast half our age.
Mm-hmm. I kind of love that idea. Who would our podcast half our age be?
One that started after us.
Yes. I almost like want to ship us with another podcast now. I don't know. We'll make a little podcast dating profile.
Yeah,
put it that's out there. Good
idea. Audience, what do you think? Who do you ship us with?
Start a new podcast. We'll date you. What up?
Yeah. So first, I want to check in with Liam. You've had a couple more sessions.
I think two more sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Invented a new creature.
Oh.
It's called the Wolfalo.
Okay.
It is a wolf the size of a buffalo.
Okay.
Baller.
It's not the size of Mark Ruffalo?
No. Okay. That Mark Ruffalo is the name of the Wolfalo in the campaign.
Okay.
That joke was made immediately by Kyle.
Good. Is he always angry?
No.
Okay.
No, in fact, he's a very big boy,
mm-hmm.
and everybody loves him, except for Amanda.
Because okay.
Amanda is 78 pounds and terrified of the 1,200-pound behemoth.
So it's a 1,200-pound wolf.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is a... I think that qualifies as a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, wolves qualify as monsters in all other folklore
yeah.
throughout humanity's history.
So just make one. What, how much does a wolf weigh? Like, at max, 230 pounds maybe?
No.
Biggest one?
No. Like, 100.
Oh, okay. So it's 12 wolves. It's just 12 wolves taped together.
Hello, Boston. We are 12 wolves.
Can you imagine if this giant creature just walked up to you in the woods and then split into 12 wolves?
God, no. That would be the worst.
All right. So we got a wolfalo.
Yeah.
No, we got whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah.
What animal?
That's what I imagine. It's just 12 wolves, like,
it's
in a trench coat.
Top.
Yeah. They travel in a tower. They're all only the one on the bottom walks.
It's just
past the pigs.
That thing just has giant, like, tower legs to hold
yeah.
the rest of the pack.
Like, so what kind of animal would travel around as a larger Voltron of itself in our setting?
Insectoids, crabs.
Oh, crabs would be terrible.
Spiders.
Spiders as a giant spider?
Yeah.
So if you just had, like, a giant spider aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And the rest of the spiders were there to bring food
there'd
to
be
it.
There'd be a large main unit, and then the other would act as like, armor.
I like that, but I also kind of like the idea of like a bunch of monkeys like locking hands.
Okay,
you know?
Monkeys is good.
I'm down.
Yeah, like locking hands, and one of them's one foot, another one's another foot, like Voltron.
Yeah,
but you can't just call it Monkey Voltron.
That's what I will exclusively refer to it as. We can come up with another name to put in the book, but when I'm like, all right, Monkey Voltron shows up.
There's like 10 bands from Ohio. They're like, hey.
Oh, shit.
We're already Monkey Voltron.
We have that. Look at this shirt.
So Monkey Voltron, you would call it like something with the monkey with 100 faces. I don't know. We worry about what to call it. Monkey Voltron is going to stick for now. That'll be our code.
Yeah.
That'll be our working title.
Yes. But I figured the Wolfalo would just be like, it's Brookie adjacent.
Yeah, it's what we domesticated.
It's what we domesticated Brookies out of.
It grew hooves somehow.
Oh no, it's got hooves.
The Wuffalo has hooves?
Yeah, it's got hooves.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. So it's the undomesticated Brookies are Wuffalos.
They're just giant monsters, and we just got the smallest ones. And we're like, all right, let's get. We gotta make this more manageable.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. So, dang, we got monsters checked out there. Monkey, Voltron, and Wuffalo.
I got another monster. Well, not a monster, a creature.
Sure.
I call it a fittering. It is a insect-like duck with giant claws on its feet, and it just attaches to trees and giant flocks in like a woodpecker.
Ooh, that's terrifying.
So it's like a small thesiosaur?
Yeah.
When you say insect-like duck, do you mean it has six limbs?
Compound eyes?
Oh, fuck. I'm having nightmares
so
already.
So it travels like
ducks. Are
there
still feathers?
Yes.
Ooh, I hate you. Okay. I hate you so much.
I just figured there'd be, like, by waterways, there'd be large flocks of them.
That yeah, it's terrifying. I like it.
Man, whoever is going to make the animated series of this is going to have a fucking time.
It's going to be whoever did Super Jail.
Ooh, yeah.
Or, God.
Super Jail.
Midnight Gospel.
Midnight Gospel. That's Pendleton Ward.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good.
It was really good.
I was going to say that Solar Opposite's pretty great, too.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Your duck thing reminds me that I had a nightmare about a tweet I saw where it was a tweet thread where or a DM thing, a DM conversation a guy posted from Twitter where he messaged Nat Geo and he says, hey, follow me back. I'm doing some research on animals that I think you'd like to include. And they followed him and he sent him a DM and says, ducks don't float. They just have really long legs that touch the bottom. the next image was that he was blocked.
Oh my God. Can you imagine those just like 12 foot long legs on this little.
Well, have you seen the picture of the duck trying to hang out with flamingos?
Mm-mm. No.
There's a bunch of flamingos, one leg is up, and there's a duck just like kind of mocking them right behind them. They're just sitting there with one leg up. And it's like, oh, that's so funny.
Ducks are the worst.
Okay, well, great. We got three creatures. I like the work that we did on In Combat Rituals, and I kind of want to stew on those for a bit because there's a lot of really fun places we can go with them.
Like maybe to the beach?
I like that. Beach ritual. Yeah, we could have the...
It's an Interpol reference for everyone.
In the Ghostbusters RPG, there's an item that we take with us everywhere. It's the beach kit.
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is it triples your fun at the beach.
Ooh.
And we always make sure to save a slot for
it. This is mechanically accurate. It triples your fun at the beach. I would love that. If I could triple the fun that I have at the beach, I would be all for it. Because that probably would involve some sort of mystical sunscreen that would keep me from being irradiated to death.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's included. There's a big umbrella, a cooler, you know.
I thought it would be like step 20 for Scoundrel.
Oh, that triple your fun at the
pocket
beach.
Pocket sand where you throw sand at someone and it just turns into an entire beach.
I like that. Or you get pocket sand and then you put it in their pocket.
Oh.
And it ruins their next, like the next day they're like, oh man.
I was thinking it could still turn into a beach. You just hit a button. So like they're just at their job and all of a sudden they explode.
That's a good one. The beach bomb. I do like the idea of putting sand in somebody's pocket and go, you were at the beach. And they're like, I don't remember it. I'm like,
that sucks. You don't remember being at the beach. It's terrible.
I bet you had a great time.
I live in the mountains. How did this happen?
Or if you could give someone a dream about the beach and put sand in their pockets without them knowing.
Like, it total inception.
Wait, so just gaslighting someone into thinking they would wake up at the beach?
Yeah, with like a shell in their ass. You know, usual beach stuff.
Well, what's the thing that's beyond gaslighting? The one where it's like everybody's in on it and like strangers are in on it.
The Truman Show.
Oh, what do they call that? They call it...
It has its own name.
Group stalking or something like something.
Gang
crazy.
Stalking.
Gang stalking, yeah.
Wow, that sounds... The word alone is horrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty much typically a mental illness. You know, it's somebody...
People are like, I got on the bus and everyone was looking at me. It's like, I don't know. I've been on a lot of buses and no one wants to look at anybody.
Yeah, I was screaming the whole time. Well, the people definitely were trying not to look at
Yes.
Yeah, there's this video... it's terrible. I found this video on YouTube of this lady just walking up to... Clearly mentally ill lady, filming all of her interactions and putting them on YouTube where she just harasses postal workers. We're like, this guy's in his truck and she's like, why are you following me? And he doesn't even know. Like, she's like, excuse me, why are you following me? And he's looking the direction. He goes, what? Are you talking to me? And she's like, yeah, why are you following me? He's like, I don't even know you, lady. I feel so bad for this dude. He's like, what are you talking about?
I've seen this truck on my street every day.
No, she says that. Yeah, for sure. But okay, we did step six. Do you want to try to do another zealotry?
Let's do another zealotry.
All right.
We got wings.
We got wings. We got the halo.
Mm-hmm.
What about the extra arms?
Let's do extra arms.
What do we want extra arms to allow you to do?
I think extra arms come with ethereal weapons already in them. You don't have to have extra. I don't want you carrying around a bunch of weapons for when your extra arms come out.
Mm-hmm.
They manifest.
That sounds a lot better than just better hugs, which is what I was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a secondary.
Sure.
Although they are like radiant burning hugs.
Do you think they burn these extra arms? I was imagining they're just like, I don't know, ghostly, smoky. I guess they could burn. They could deal damage. If they can deal damage, they may not even need a weapon.
Well, I figured that the weapons would just be kind of flavoring for what the actual arms are. It wouldn't matter what's in them. They would pretty much do the same thing.
I don't hate that. I would say, okay, so extra weapons. Obviously, extra opportunity attacks because you're wielding all of them, right?
I was just thinking, what if you could double overwhelming strike?
Ooh.
Just do two overwhelming strikes at the same time.
Ooh.
If you take extra attack actions.
I don't think you should get extra attack actions.
No. You should not be able to do 80 damage.
But I like the idea of being able to double up on at will attacks.
Yeah.
But not being able to go, I choose this one and this one. You have to go this one twice.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I almost think maybe it should give them something equivalent to the Krex ratio, where once per encounter, they can do an extra combat action.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's not Krex.
Tiktani.
Tiktani.
Where they can just take a full extra one. And then if you are Tiktani and you've got these extra
God
arms.
God damn it.
Oh, two extra would be
straight
amazing.
Centipede.
Yeah. You can use an extra scene ability. Like scene ability you've already used, you can use again.
All right. I like that.
I guess let's think of just conceptually first, right?
I'm thinking
before
very,
we go for
very,
like actual
very
abilities.
Vishnu about it.
Yeah.
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 Keep it on the theme of gods.
Yeah.
Is Shiva the goddess of destruction, right? Or is it Shiva, Kali? I know there's all the
two
aspects. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I don't think Kali's not the goddess of destruction like Shiva is.
I think it's just death.
It's like
death
and corruption and evil.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because Shiva is death and rebirth. And it is life and death are one and the same for Shiva. I think for Kali, it is not.
Yeah, she has a belt of hands, you know, like or of arms, really.
Well, that's pretty brutal.
The more you like the Irish war goddess is a threefold, you know, it's like she can be a regular lady, she can be a really nice lady, or she can destroy you.
Yeah. Well, they do that with American gods and the.
But it's just funny that the goddess of death war is like. Just a woman that was pushed too far.
I don't know enough about Indian...
Pantheon is maybe even the wrong word for it? Stable?
I mean, Kali... I know that Kali's evil. She does have multiple arms, including the ones around her waist that she wears that she cut off of people.
Those are hers now.
Yeah, they're her arms.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Look at this fucking picture.
That's pretty tight.
That is metal as fuck.
So what if you get +1 to hit for every enemy head you have tied to your belt?
You wear a necklace of heads.
Yeah.
A belt of arms.
That's going in our gods game.
Yeah. Your hearing is better because you have a necklace of ears. Like, I heard that.
So let's go to... If I had extra arms, what would I do?
Masturbate furiously.
I was going to say aside from the obvious. Let's say
I would itch the sunburn that you get right on your
God.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
I would eat with incredible efficiency.
I think you get a bonus to climb.
Yes.
Right?
Makes sense.
For sure. But you saying that you itch the thing in your back, like the arms don't have to be like mystically attached.
No.
Like Goro under your armpits, right? They can
float around.
Yeah. So you being able to cover your back with those arms is probably pretty good. So maybe
have you ever played the N64 game Glover or whatever the one that was called?
Yeah.
It was just an anthropomorphic glove.
Yes.
So what if you could manipulate things within like 5 squares of you eventually with it as well?
Because they move around. They can fly. I kind of like the idea that the arms can move away from you.
Yeah.
I like that.
It would have to be in a certain distance, but...
I what do you think about if you have opportunity attacks remaining, you cannot be flanked?
I like that.
Because it's not...
it's just like, nobody.
Yeah. You have a reaction available to you.
Could it help rituals?
Yeah. Because, well, if it gives you extra actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's an extra... It gives you an extra swift, an extra move, an extra combat action every scene?
I would say remove a move.
Yeah, well, we can stipulate that the move will not allow you to
move,
but you can trade it down for a swift,
replace it with like a reloading can be replaced with a move action.
Yeah, it doesn't allow you to actually move somewhere, but you can do that. That could be cool.
Yeah,
that alone
is huge,
is enormous. Yeah, I think that might be enough.
That's,
to be honest. Like,
well, the whole thing is, but it's also fun because that might not be the one that you pick first in your advancement down Zealotry.
That's true.
But that's on a short list of like, I can do five things now. All right, maybe wings first. And then you're like, okay, what do I do next? I want to do everything I do now, but more.
Yeah. Now we gave them like a utility action, a swift action. I think you don't, maybe we can make it so that these arms, let's just think of them in raw use, right? Mm-hmm. So how many arms do you get?
Four.
Four extra?
So you have six total.
Okay.
Unless you're Tectani.
Right. Okay, so you get four extra arms. Each one wields a weapon of your choosing,
mm-hmm.
spectrally, right? Some kind of spectral weapon. They're only one-handed, or do mm-hmm. we want to allow them to wield two-handed weapons?
One-handed.
Okay.
Because they're independent.
Okay. If one of the arms, once summoned, if it's summoned with a weapon, it can't drop the weapon?
No. Yeah, it is part of, it's not an arm and a spectral sword. It is a single unit.
Yeah. So if you want one to be able to act as an open hand,
you need to
summon it with one. You can do unarmed attacks with it, but it's the idea of a floating arm disembodied doing an unarmed attack is just, it's so contradictory.
But also awesome.
Because it's like, if anything, this is the most armed attack.
Yes. All right.
Ever.
But also.
Unbody.
But also, I do love the idea of essentially a monk character
mm-hmm.
going zealotry, getting to this point and being like, I get a bunch of bonuses to unarmed attacks. I summon four extra arms. They are just fists.
Yeah. I love it.
Like flurry of blows, literally.
Yeah.
You're about to flank some dude and just get him, and all of a sudden these hands just start punching you in the face.
Or no, you just grapple him, and then your spectral arm just punch him. Just boom, boom, boom.
How about...
Could they grapple? Could the spectral...
No, I would say you'd have to grapple with your real hands.
Interesting. I would say otherwise. I would say, yeah, they can grapple.
All right, well, if they're empty, you get a grapple bonus.
Yeah, I would say it takes a full attack action to summon them.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make up those actions really quick. And I think that, what if they can only move away from you a distance equal to your composure score?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do we allow all of them to move that far or just one at a time?
Would you have to roll independently for each one?
Well, no, I think, so you control them, which means they take your attack actions. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're off doing their own thing. You're doing that thing.
I'm going to say one at a time just because of the requirement of awareness that would take would be innate. Like, would be enormous. That would be a very... If you just added an extra pair of arms to me right now, mm-hmm. For 5 years, they'd be fucking useless.
Yeah, I think you would... Okay, so if an arm occupies a space you're not in,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't occupy the space, we'll say.
Okay.
Because
it's just not mm-hmm. big enough to count.
Correct. And so it cannot flank. It cannot provide the upper hand, even though it can literally be an upper hand.
Yeah.
And it can just do whatever you can do with your hands. You know, if you summon it with a weapon, it has that weapon. You cannot do it. You get four of them, and then you get an extra combat move and swift.
Is that every turn?
Yeah.
Shit, that's so big.
How about...
That's so big.
What if they cannot be used to perform abilities?
So they're just basic attacks.
You can use your hands to perform abilities, but they can only do basic attacks.
I was just going to say, could you have six hands all doing fireball...
See,
at the same time,
I think you would move a hand away from you to get a better angle for fireball. right? Like it, like you're spiking a ball, you know? Like,
all
right,
and I will say that the exception to that would be anything, any ability that can be used to replace a basic attack, we allow.
Yes.
So stuff like Fireball, because that is just your basic attack for the functionally for those characters.
Yeah, we'll say,
but
yeah.
But you can't do something like Overwhelming Strike or you know,
basic
whatever the flourish is. Yeah, stuff that is a basic attack or can be replaced. Like, if you can be granted it by command,
yes,
you can use it.
Okay, so then you get, we'll say you get one extra every turn then. Because you have to spend one immediately to get them.
Yeah.
So you're out on that one, and then you get an extra one every turn within the confines of what the hands can do. You get an extra attack. Sorry, you get an extra opportunity attack if they are close enough to you.
Yeah,
maybe the one that goes away from you cannot get. Well, let's not, because that's the point. You're putting it there to threaten. It can punch somebody for moving.
It can it can tag them as they go.
Yeah.
If they move through, but it can't provide the upper hand because it's not occupying enough space to be an impedance.
Yes,
it can tag, but it can't.
Right.
Exist in a space to block an area.
So let's remove the ability to grant extra opportunity attacks for each harm.
Mm-hmm.
You still only get that for the amount of weapons that you control. But you can, if you can move the arm away from you, that arm can still make opportunity attacks against that person.
Can it do like a Bruce Lee style 1-inch punch?
Sure.
All right, dope.
We don't have that ability yet, but yes. All
right.
So I think
that's coming.
This will be a simple one. It can do anything hands can do. If it's summoned as an open hand, it can grab objects.
Yeah.
It can lift something with one hand equivalent to what you could lift.
Yeah. Well, and that could also work where, okay, cool. I have a dope. I now have four incredible one-handed magical weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I summon an open hand. I take out my neat dagger that I wouldn't use in any other situation. Or I want to travel light. I put a big old sword in this one, because why not?
Yeah.
Or I want this guard to turn around, so I send my hand out and knock over a glass on the other side of the room.
That'd be terrible if you show up as the guy who's covered in swords. And you're like, well, how is this General Kenobi?
General Grievous?
Yeah, if you basically become Grievous, like... So you walk up and you're fighting somebody with your two swords, and then they have you like locked in battle, and then you just grow extra arms and they pull out the extra swords. You are General Grievous.
I also like the idea that if it takes time to summon all of these advantages through zealotry, that you could get to a point in a party where you have your bruiser having to sit out like the first two or three turns, and the party is just holding the line, and then they're like, all right, Voltron's complete, boys. I'm going out.
Well, the best
Monkey Voltron.
One of the coolest things now that we have in combat rituals is that this person can do them faster.
Yes.
And it makes sense. Like, they've got extra arms and they're like just whipping up.
Yeah. Well,
whipping up a Rasengan. You know?
And it's definitely super interesting and is staying on flavor in the mechanical thing that we want to do, that zealotry is a bridge between a caster and a melee fighter, and not a bridge in which it's a compromise between either. It accentuates either and also can exist on its own.
My worry, so I want to go full bore like this, right? But my worry is that if you go all 10 steps down zealotry, are you way ahead of everyone else who goes all 10 steps down anywhere else?
Maybe. And
we can dial it back.
Yeah, and we're going to have... And also, the Sid Meier's adage of, if you think it's not enough, double it. If you think it's too much, have it.
Yeah.
Like, let's go heavy and fine-tune it later. I think it'd be a lot worse to have something underwhelming and try to beef it up. I think it's easier to roll something back.
And there is a great cost to get there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you are sending 10 steps to get where you are.
And you're expending... there's a wind-up to all of these abilities that require time. You know, if you go all zealotry and it takes 5 turns for you to be fully awakened, that's game over for most combats already.
It's true. Do we make this a daily activation?
Right now, I'm going to say no. Right now, I'm going to say no because, one, because the other stuff that we've been doing for step six on other stuff isn't as straightforwardly useful, but they're real good in their roles. And I think Zealotry and Champion kind of need to be straightforward and just bruisery.
Yeah.
And I think this is working. But again, we're going to have to play test it, and we might get to a point where we're like, oh, Zealotry is just straight up bonkers.
Yeah.
And then we can make the decision of, you know, do we give a 10% boost to these, you know, paths that are lacking, or are we going to try and scale down?
So how about instead of a combat action to activate it, because I want it to be, I want you to feel really powerful when you do this. Maybe a full turn.
Okay.
How would we feel about that?
Yeah.
You have to take a full turn off to do this, and then you get it for the rest of the scene.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be worth it. Like, you'll still choose to do that. You'll be like, hey, gang, run interference for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but it also might be a thing that if you think the fight will be over enough, or if you're in enough danger where you need to act at the beginning, you won't be able to turn that on.
Right. Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But you might.
You're not going to do it while running away.
If you're the only, you know, stalwart melee fighter in your party, and shit hits the fan, you're going to need to run forward and take it.
But also, you do have healing abilities.
Yeah.
You might be taking a full turn off as a healer, and you need to juggle that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Taking a full turn off is an investment.
Yeah. But then you could do double ray of healing if you have radiance.
Or triple if you have, oh man, just stacking it with command too. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. All right, I like that. Okay. I think that's good. I do like that. So what will we call this? I mean, we could just call it extra arms.
No.
But
no, we got to put
but,
some
but they're aspects, right? Virtue. Yeah.
Industry. Virtue of industry? Virtue of...
I was going that direction, but I think industry is... It's too... It sounds too mechanical.
Yeah.
It invokes that connotation.
But the whole thing is, that's the right mode. That's the right lane.
Magnanimity?
Eh, isn't...
It's like generosity. It's like... It's being open-handed is being generous.
Yeah.
Synonym for work.
Yeah.
Wow. People really hate work.
People some fucking of these hate words. Work.
Labor, toil, drudgery, exertion. It's like, that's not quite what I was looking for.
Ambition?
I like it. Handiwork. Vigilance?
I like that.
That would make more sense for the Halo, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Of engagement.
What's it called when you're up in everybody's shit, but in a good way?
Virtue of hand jobs.
I like that. I wish more hand jobs were virtuous.
Virtue of thrift?
Thrift. Damn, it's just... Nothing quite says that what we want.
What are the other ones? What are the other ones we got?
We have virtue of...
Community?
Liberality. That's flight. I think we have virtue...
Prudence?
Collaboration?
I like that.
Virtue of service.
Service isn't bad, but it does make me think of hand jobs. That's if you sort of like virtue of service. Here come all my hands. I don't know. I kind of like
gratitude.
Communion.
I like that.
Yeah.
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 I would say either that or Congress. You know.
No, I like Congress again has other connotations that kind of override it.
All right, virtue of communion.
Yes.
And you create multiple hands. You create four hands, so you have six, eight if you're Tectani. If you create open hands, they can do anything one of your open hands can do. They can only lift things, but they're not attached to you, so they can't catch a ledge to stop you from falling.
No.
Yeah. So they don't help you climbing, I don't think.
You're not Spider-Man.
No.
Or
Dr. Octopus.
Well, the man spider.
Yeah.
Could they catch something though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if someone is falling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
not you.
If you could hold if you could hold them with your hand, they can hold you.
Okay.
But they confer no we'll say they convey no force unto you under your body.
Yeah. So, without being acted upon.
Right.
Okay.
All right, I like it.
Yeah. I was worried that these, that the zealotry line was gonna kill us.
Really?
Yeah. That was the one where I was like, because here's the whole thing: coming up with two ideas mm-hmm. on a theme is not hard. Coming up with five is so much more than two.
Yeah, and I was thinking,
but we are churning through these, and I don't feel like this well is dry.
I agree. All. And I also, something I kind of, I think I've mentioned this before, but just want to get you guys' thoughts on, what do you think about changing it so that humans aren't the base race? So what if we gave humans abilities like the other races and then removed the extra step thing?
I'm generally against it because I love the interplay of that mm-hmm. extra step. But I would be open to the idea of allowing for mechanical differences between varieties of human. Hmm. And I don't think...
You mean like based on like background, where you grew up? That
yeah,
kind
background,
of thing.
Culture, mm-hmm. or just, you know, the people of the Akhenoshan Empire are more metropolitan. They're sure. They're involved in more general frivolous skill. We're like, yeah. Cool, I'm from the desert. I didn't learn how to also be a mage. What I learned to do is to not require as much sustenance as you to survive.
The reason I bring it up is because it's a standard RPG trope to make humans the catch-all mm-hmm. anything, where they just have the most flexibility on what their skills are. And in our world, in our setting, humans aren't necessarily better at learning anything than any of the other races are. But if the other races would be jealous of a lot of the adaptations that humans have, the physical adaptations, like we can run longer than anybody, period. Yeah. Like there's no animal on earth that can run for a longer period of time than we can.
I think we would run into that problem because at least in the way that I envisioned how this anthropomorphication of mm-hmm. the other races is the things that we identify as predominantly human is the things that they kind of stole.
Yes.
That they are long distance travelers, that everyone is at least metabolism wise capable of eating almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say they're all omnivores. I guess
I like the adaptation
like,
though.
I don't want to make the Harad cold blooded. I think that would be a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, what I mean is I do think that there are things that do set humans apart in our world mm-hmm. physically.
Yeah.
That are not captured at all by giving them an extra step.
Yeah. And there's so much variation in humanity mm-hmm. that I like that. Like the Dutch only have eight toes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So would we have?
The whole thing is, really, genetically, we have very, very little, very little.
It's true.
Difference.
Well, humans, yeah.
Yeah.
Then the Dutch. But
I was thinking, because obviously, overland endurance is something humans have got. I would feel comfortable boosting that for humans in our setting. Humans are excellent in the water. We're neutrally buoyant.
Yeah.
We can hold our breath.
As far as primates go, there's nothing that touches us.
We are aquatic apes.
We love fancy fur because we caught that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a cheetah? That's cool. I'll wait 20 minutes.
Yeah. The ability to tan isn't exclusive to humans, but it is an important adaptation that saves us, you know, from exposure.
Mm-hmm. Speak for yourself.
Right. Well.
Oh, I thought you meant like tanning fur.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, sure. But
and then you said that. I was like, oh, yeah, tan.
Yeah. We are all three in here extremely pale. I don't know. I just kind of want to throw that out there as a question of like, if this was the case, if we did decide to go that route, what would we give humans?
All right, let's pitch this. Let's just take care of this now. All right, so we got our Tolden.
Okay.
I think we keep the way Tolden work as now, as Akhenoshan.
Okay.
Your basic Akhenoshan is...
Well-read, well-studied.
Yeah, and they picked an extra, you know, facet of their mm-hmm. abilities to do that. What would the other two... you know, vastly different types of people be? Would they be nomads? Would they be mountain people is good.
Well, I'm just thinking what, like, physically what sets humans apart.
Yeah.
Like what, because We gave bats a screech, you know. Like,
well, yeah. I'm saying let's think, you know, environmental, cultural differences, things that are what would accentuate the things that we enjoy about, you know, as humans that we're good at. What environment or culture provides that, and then build it from culture for like reasoning first, and then the ability, rather than the other way around.
I don't know, because I guess that feels like something totally different. It sounds fun, mm-hmm. but like that sounds like something like a template we can put on top of other races as well. You know what I mean? Like something we can add. Like if we said this culture does XYZ better, you could maybe choose to put that templating like these bonuses and these negatives mm-hmm. on top of any race in that culture. You know what I'm saying? Like that seems like a fun thing we could like a layer we could add on. But I don't know if it would give them an ability. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The same way that like
having extra arms,
having hollow bones. You know,
what if they have psychic powers?
No,
I don't hate that.
Because what other powers are humans gonna have?
Well, no, the whole
we're
thing
evolving
is,
towards brain. We're not evolving towards anything else.
But I think that hits again on that should be something that all races as sapient things should be able to have.
Yeah.
You could make a psyker of anything.
Okay.
But also, I hate psionics in D&D with a huge, huge passion.
I don't hate them as a concept. I hate that
the way they're implemented sucks.
I hate that it's a completely different rule set.
And it's very obviously easy to just beat in everything into submission. Hi, I'm level 5. I use all my psionic points to make a golem.
I mean, obviously, if we did something psychic, it would just be in the confines of the system we already have.
Yes.
But I'm not, I think something like that, like we were talking about a potential class or potential path one day that would be like a conduit and it could like redirect magic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like that would be closer to the psychic thing, but it would still fall within the same framework of how abilities
work. If we're going to make psychics, I think it's a path.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I agree.
What if we get rid of Tolden and just do Planet of the Apes and do Monkey Voltron?
I think the Tolden are apes, right? Like, I think that's how everyone else sees them.
Yeah.
Like, they are the ape version of this.
I just think visually it is nice to have humans if you're going to market it towards humans.
Like, I'm less concerned about that. But I do want humans there because I don't know. I do like the anything path. I kind of want to just throw that at you guys. Maybe think on it, you know, because humans are distinct from all other apes in multiple ways.
We are distinct from a lot of things in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
we have a decent bag of tricks. They're not, but they're all subtle. Like there's a lot of subtlety.
We're good at climbing, running, swim. Actually, we're excellent at climbing, running, and swimming.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have 100 humans, like 60 of them are going
to
win.
Our ability to degrade muscle mass and turn it into energy is ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's just put that out there. We could also say that humans maybe had further adaptations in our setting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's why I didn't really hate when Max said maybe something psychic, but what if they got something physical? What if all humans? Oh,
I was thinking, what if the Savathians had kept like a human slave race who are now water adapted?
They definitely would have. They're evil as fuck.
It is also, if you're looking, we could go full Guyver. If you're looking for a platform to make a weapon or a worker out of, humans are pretty good base platforms.
We probably modified our genetics to create our own nanomachines that we are now totally unaware of.
Ooh. Healing bonus?
Probably a healing bonus. That would be awesome, actually.
Actually, if you're looking for Empire, healing bonus, and even if it's a moderate resistance to disease, mm-hmm. that would just allow you to congregate in large groups and organize easier.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because the way diseases have come around is...
Yeah, and that's definitely a thing that we're thinking about in this moment for no reason.
Yeah, and maybe we could look to 40K at, like, what did the Space Marine all get? The Space Marines all get, right? Like, so they were able to eat anything from a planet and incorporate resistances and knowledge, you know, genetic knowledge and stuff like that. Maybe genetic knowledge is something, so like planarian worms, right?
Well,
where they
eat something
and they get information.
Well, and then the whole thing is, if we're looking for reasons why Tolden could specialize, they straight up just start to adapt to the flora and fauna around them.
Oh, I like that.
Man, I was thinking something like Teal'c. You know,
Also, then we can also tie into the, like, all right, so Tolden exists the way they do. If you adapt long enough over a long enough scape, would you grow fur and start looking like mammals that survived in other situations? Maybe. But
I think once you're able to create clothes.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's also a situation of, why would you do that? Well, if we're in the far-flung future and humanity has already left the planet, what version of humanity would you want? You'd want the one that they could land anywhere and just survive.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And also...
We're failed, like the ones left on Earth. Mm-hmm. Earth are just failed settlers.
I like that. Max, you're saying Teal'c?
Yeah, I was saying, you were talking about like having a worm. I was saying, what if, you know, we feed them as humans, but it's so far in the future, what if there's another creature living inside of them that provides that?
Well, I said nanomachine.
Yeah. That's what made me, you said planarian worm.
Yeah. Oh, planarian worm, yeah.
That made me think of Teal'c, you know.
That's
which
true.
Is Stargate, a race of humans who have aliens living inside of them that give them abilities.
Yeah, that's fun too. That's almost the Star Trek race of what's her face.
Oh, the Trill.
The Trill. Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. I think
because we have at least a million years, right, to play with.
Yeah.
So
yeah, let's think about it, guys. I like all these ideas, and
but I do I do like a little sci-fi in my fantasy.
Agreed. Like Krull.
Yes.
So, Citadel, more heraldry.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of a Cone 3 stamp to knock people prone.
Like a stomp. Like a
stomp that has a chance. Stomp. Would they have to roll an athletics check to not...
That's not bad.
I like that. I like that direction. I'm not sure that's where we're going to go, but I like that idea of something...
Put it in the pot for later.
Yeah, put that in the pot too, because that could also be in Champions.
Yeah, actually, that's probably more Champion.
Because then they get bonuses to
targets
who are knocked flat.
But I'm just thinking like just a big old stomp.
Yeah, shut people down. Mm-hmm. Like maybe something, if it didn't knock them flat, maybe can immobilize them. Just for one turn, if they fail like a constitution or endurance check or something.
I was almost thinking again, and this is the well I want to keep going with in Citadel, is protecting allies and just doing ally protection amazingly. And again, this is step six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the decision moment. You're not going half-half for a regular campaign. This is the thing where you're mostly Citadel. I would love the idea of just something where, like, you prevent damage in a way and provide a boon.
Okay, well, right now, what we've got for heraldry are...
How many options do we have in heraldry? Yeah.
We have ordinaries. We have non-ordinaries on heraldry. No, I'm sorry, we have both. We have both an object and an ordinary. So we've got, right now, we have something that's a landscaped object, a non-martial object, a structure, and a beast of some kind. And then for the ordinaries, we have... Bend, which is diagonal. Fess, which is horizontal. Pale, which is vertical. And Chief, which is along the top.
Yeah.
Those are all good. We don't have to add four more things.
No.
To increase heraldry and make it good, right?
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is, I think there's enough there where you can just literally another one of each, like, either?
Well, but not for ordinaries, though, right? Like, you wouldn't pick...
To make an X?
You could make an X, cross? But if you added a pale... Well, okay, you could, but I don't want a repeat of the same effect.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if we say that this ordinary means this effect, so if you pick a bend... And it means that you get an additional +2 to opportunity attacks. You'd say, I go bend again. I don't want you to get the same effect. So we can now say...
I mean, that was already off the table. Like, you don't double bend.
That's what I mean. But a double bend is a cross. It's an X. You know what I mean? If you get two bends. All right. That makes sense. I'm just trying to think of, like, the physical... You look at your heraldry. What is it?
I could... Then I will think...
We could do colors and patterns.
Colors and patterns.
Borders.
Or... Off pod, do things like X's, crosses, which would be the thing that you picked, but harder.
Sure.
You picked a vertical line. You now pick a horizontal line. You don't get the horizontal line bonus. You get the thing you already picked, but harder. Probably more than double. I feel like if you double down on something, you should get better than double.
If it's a chance to hit...
Oh, no. Doubling no, that, would be... No, that's a bad idea. Yeah. But if it's something like a +1 damage, I don't feel like an extra +1 damage is the same as a +1 to hit.
Well, how would you kind of... Let's think of things that this doesn't cover first, right?
All
right. So right now, these are the things that heraldry can give you with objects. Increase your speed by 1.
Which is dope.
Yeah. Gives you +2 to composure and... composure skill checks,
which is I also do love heraldry because it's long enough in the tooth of a campaign for you to know what's most effective, because I feel like there are objectively mathematically best things that are always going to be effective, but the idea of adding saves in a certain campaign will be more advantageous.
Well, not to mention, you know how the mechanics of your group.
Oh my god! By that time,
mathematically, you're one in there. One that seems obvious if you were solo becomes the weakest option. You know.
Yeah.
So increase your hit points by 2 immediately and by 1 for each additional level.
Solid.
Add 2 bonus damage to all targeted attacks.
Solid, but also not. I don't think those are broken. Because of the way that scaling goes.
Can we really break it and be like, you add ignored damage to your health?
I think we're going to be doing stuff like that additionally, actually. All right, so...
Step 6.
The idea of, bulwark. Yeah. But I feel like that's a step 9. You get hit, you ignore this much damage, you gain that damage's health.
So increase the tier of attacks against... your opposing faction by 5. So you pick a faction, and the damage tier, the tier of damage you do against that specific faction is increased by 5.
Yes.
That's very good.
That's incredibly good for very specific situations.
Mm-hmm. Or add 1 to your dodge, which is
amazing.
Fantastic.
So good. Yeah. Especially for Citadel.
Add 1 to your endurance.
Great for Citadel.
Yeah. And gain an additional +2 to all opportunity attacks.
Oh my, yeah, no, so those are all great.
Those are the ordinaries. Okay, so what isn't covered here? I think there's no increase in armor except in the fact that it adds 1 to your endurance.
Mm-hmm. Which will probably add to your armor?
It can, right? Because we will introduce later.
Actually, let me rephrase that. It will add to your armor unless you built it specifically to be for armor first.
Well, we're going to...
It'll raise... suboptimal builds,
yes,
to an optimal build.
Except we're probably going to create armor that's harder to wear, that has more armor.
Yeah.
So maybe that's an easy one. Add 1 to the armor of your shield and 1 to the armor of your body. Right. So if you have both, you get 2 additional armor.
So there's an ordinary, unordinary. Should this be the flourish?
What's a flourish? Let me look up heraldry again, because we got that good guide.
Yeah.
I do think heraldry is the way to go for this one, because they already have a lot of options moment to moment, right? They're thinking, if you're playing Citadel, you're thinking long game, and you're just doing preemptive moves.
Yeah.
You're not, You're only reactive with opportunity attacks, but you're proactive in how you're trying to shut down.
And it's also a situation in which we've played with Citadel characters. Citadel characters are not protagonists in the way that we've set up this game, and I'm 1,000% okay with that.
I think you've easily could be, though.
Oh, like, no. No, you can. Yeah. Well, I built a Citadel command and was the leader.
So we've got colors. It is an are important signifiers in heraldry because they mean different things, right? Metals are gold or silver.
Mm-hmm. Or they're called, we could do copper.
Or the gold is called yellow or or silver or white or argent. There's also furs, which are
it's a pattern
of ermine and vair.
That's just black and white, right?
Yeah. So we've got more ordinaries. So the ones we haven't touched yet are chevron crossed satyr, which is a X, a bordure, which is a full border around the edge, and a pile, which is a upside down triangle.
I'm looking for something more categorical than specific.
Charges are the symbols that we were talking about. Animals have their own meaning, but we'll let you pick your own.
So we have a charge. We have a backdrop. I think the option is...
What we don't have are colors or patterns.
Colors and patterns, yes. And then I think, let's do colors and patterns. Colors are one thing, patterns are another.
How about we just pick color?
All right.
Because then we could just list three colors. We can make up names for them and people can decide whatever they want.
I don't want three. I want six.
Okay.
I want six. I want three offensive, three defensive.
But do you mix and match?
Afterwards, yes.
You're given the options. I was thinking we do this like a karate belt system.
Oh, like upgrade.
I don't like that, actually.
Like green belt, yellow belt.
No.
My thinking was...
I want it to be personality-based, not rank-based. Also, just generally as a person that I am, the idea of...
Step six and you get the white belt?
Yeah, but also, yeah, the idea of ranks in a multiplayer game trying to be personality-based.
Yeah, of course.
The reason why I wanted to pitch for three is because then we could say, pick one of these. It overlaps with the things that you've already got.
All right.
And we'll give you one other thing that's not heraldry.
Okay.
That way, maybe every two steps, we give one more little thing to layer on top of your heraldry.
I want, then if we're doing three, I want... a purely offensive one.
Okay.
A purely defensive one. Mm-hmm. And then a neutral.
How about instead of
blanketly
of it,
good?
Instead of neutral, a party?
Yes.
Boon?
Yes. I like that. Cool. A little more leadership bound.
Yeah.
But not parlaying or going in the lane of command.
Attacking, defending, leading.
Yes.
Okay. Even though leading sounds like you're attacking, but we know what we're talking about. Like leadership.
You can lead a retreat and be an effective general.
Okay. So let's think of just what those boons are for you.
Yes.
If you have heraldry.
Yeah. Boons. Boons.
Well, we already use boon as its own mechanic.
Yeah.
So.
But these should be boons.
Right. They're static boons. For you. Yeah. Okay.
Or boons for you offensively. Boons for you defensively. Third one is party boon.
Offensive. What if every time you successfully hit, you automatically get to roll again until you miss?
That weapon.
Oh, how about if you are adjacent to two or more enemies, you get a bonus.
Yeah, I like that. I like that flavor.
Yeah, or within reach of two or more. No, adjacent.
Adjacent.
You want to be in the middle
in
of
the shit.
Well, but then again, what if you're wielding a reach weapon? Mm. How about if two or more enemies are within melee reach?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. You deal additional damage. You get an additional plus one to hit.
Here's what I want. Crit range extension for Citadel.
Yeah. That's might get more out of hand.
I don't think it will for how... this class is made. I think it functions like a plus one because it's an automatic hit.
All right, let's float that.
What if you get to do a basic?
Based on how the base damage of all Citadel skills work, I don't think it's that broken Citadel solo. And if you add it to Heraldry in a multi-path character, can that be incredibly oppressive? But you're going step six, baby. You, like, you, how far in champion are you in there to make this broken?
I was thinking of something maybe a little more oppressive, but situationally.
All right.
In that, if you're adjacent to two more, or if you're within melee reach, actually, okay, it shouldn't have that requirement if for the one I'm talking about. Let's All right. Okay. The idea I was thinking is you can replace one opportunity attack per round with an at will.
Ooh, I do like that.
But I don't think you need the requirement of...
No.
Yeah. So that one's huge. Maybe that's too good to be a heraldry thing, unless we think of things as good in other things. You know what I mean?
Let's bank that and pick the other two.
Okay, so...
We've
got crit range extension. We've got replace opportunity attacks with an at will. But I would think that if you do that once per round, you get no additional opportunity attacks.
Fair.
Right? Like, if you choose to do that, you're doing it because of the effect that it has.
Yeah, you're making a choice.
Even if you have no limit to opportunity attacks?
Yes. Okay. Because you can not have that, but then if you choose to do that, you...
You can lock someone up. You could do extra damage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And depending on how you path it, that could be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Situationally
very powerful. So that's good. And then what's defense?
I like that more than the... Crit range extension. Actually.
Yeah,
that's the pick.
The problem is it's very good.
Yes.
Should that be the thing they get at step six, no matter what?
No. I feel like we have to go to that level now.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't feel bad about that because I don't know if you remember the other step six things we did.
They're pretty good.
They're real good.
All right. So let's think of what's defensive. That's kind of what do you want defensively?
I don't think Citadel at this point should be too worried about themselves.
No.
You're already there.
Well, defensive would be like, so something you would desperately want as Citadel is forcing somebody to attack you, where you're like, you literally can't attack anybody but
me.
But how do we do that in our system where it makes sense in like the role-playing aspect? Because like, if somebody's really focused on that other person, they're going to go after, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cruel Jess.
That's champion flavored. That feels like champion.
Well, but okay, I was thinking more in the sense of like you're just good at putting your body there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you're good, like which feels like not so fast or a sacrificial dodge or dive.
Like a Brian Boitano.
Here's the thing.
What would he do if he were here right now?
But the flavor being in line with other abilities isn't a bad place to go.
No. Okay, so well, let's maybe something like that. Maybe something where if you are included in an attack, nobody else takes damage. No other adjacent ally takes damage from it.
No, I don't even want that. I want an ability for Citadel. They have a ray.
Mm-hmm.
They have a ray. They shoot through you.
Mm-hmm.
You say no. It stops here.
That's not bad.
You get to choose for area effect attacks and ray attacks to be a single target.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say
the buck stops here.
Any ray attack or any attack that
an explosive you
if you would be one of the included targets in
you
an
are the force of the brunt
in an area or a ray attack you can. Well, it feels like there should be some chance involved though.
I don't think there should be chance. I think it should be placement.
What if you have the ability to go prone?
If you are the closest target to the enemy?
I don't think it's closest target. I think any targets beyond you
mm-hmm.
via the enemy no longer count.
Well, that's basically the same thing.
Yeah, no, but the whole thing is you're saying the closest. I'm saying there's an explosive attack. There's essentially grenade put in front of you.
Sure. You're basically spiking it.
The guy in front of you, you can't do
anything. No.
There's no way.
Well, I mean,
a ray comes through you. The guy in front of you takes it, but everyone behind you is like,
affected,
that guy took it.
Of the affected targets, of all of the targets, if you, what's a good way of putting it? It's like when a ray, when an attack happens
mm-hmm.
that would potentially hit more than one target,
mm-hmm.
if you are closer to the enemy than those other targets.
Yes.
You, not all of it, but you're the only one who takes damage from it.
Yes.
Because you don't want to add up all that damage.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it damages you.
Yeah.
I want to call it the buck stops here.
You could, yeah, we could do that. buck stops here. I was because mechanically, it's like you're spiking it like a volleyball.
Or even the idea of like the Captain America dive.
Yeah, just fall on the grenade, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So the buck stops here.
Because that's really good.
It's good.
That's really good.
I think it's still less good than the offensive one. Because the offensive one with Citadel's abilities are still defensive.
Yeah. In a group of three, you're picking the offensive one.
Yeah. In a bigger group.
Well, the more casters you have.
That's true. I was going to say, the more melee you have, the less useful that is. Because people are going to be on the other side of the enemy.
That's going to be party determined. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I think we have a general, slant early level. Slightly toward melee, casters have caught up.
I don't know if that slant's there, except for who is playing them.
I think the fragility is still there.
Sure.
And as soon as you add this, it is really good.
What's the name of the things that the Roman centurions would do when they put their shields above their heads and form like a turtle shell?
Testudo, right?
Is testudo?
I think that just means turtle.
We just call it testudo.
Testudo. Mm-hmm.
You're one man testudo.
Yeah.
It was called testudo, which means tortoise formation.
Yeah,
somebody just picks up a tortoise and is like, can we do this?
Yeah.
Would this stop arrows?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it would.
And I do think in most gameplay situations, you're going to pick the offensive one. However, if you're in a party of three ranged characters and Citadel, you just made that party way more viable.
Now, it's only damaging effects.
Yes.
Not anything that would slow you or yeah, okay.
The ice still goes through.
Yeah.
But if it's an ice attack that slows you,
it's just the damage that doesn't go through.
Yes.
So it still hits everybody. It has no effect on zone things like Shadow of Death.
No.
Whatsoever. You can't stop that with a shield.
No.
But any area attacks that deal damage, you have to be included as a target because your shield can stop it for everybody, but you have to be within, cuz if somebody throws a grenade over your head,
Doesn't matter.
You're not the closest. You have to be within its range.
Yes.
Okay.
That's really good. I like that.
That's good.
In the future, could we have them just stop, like, not range attacks, but what do we call it? Reach weapons?
Reach?
Just reach?
Well, you get, if you attack, if you're inside somebody's reach.
Yeah.
And they're attacking, you get opportunity attacks against them.
I'm saying, like, let's say someone's standing next to me and they have phalanx.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person is able to hit them with a reach weapon, but I'm in phalanx with them.
Mm-hmm.
If it could just be in, like, nap.
I think that's the reason why it provokes opportunity attacks.
Like,
because I think you can shield bash.
Yeah. We've been attacked before by creatures that have outreached us.
Yeah,
by a lot.
We've added a mechanic to just shields in general. That if somebody is doing a ranged attack, or that you can replace your opportunity attack with a shield bash, it will cancel the attack.
I'm thinking, not when you're right up in their face.
Interesting.
I'm saying things that have a longer reach.
I like this as a third thing, maybe.
Citadel has a couple effects that do that. One of which is you can extend your shield to give your ally the armor bonus. Another is that you can actually use not so fast. Mm-hmm. Well, but you can't attack. If you still can't reach them, you can't reach, like, you can't interact with them.
No.
Let's bin that. I like that.
That's what I'm thinking. I would just want, like a giant crab. I want Popeye to just reach up and...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking by step 10, a single pure Citadel character is a 10-foot by 10-foot stone wall.
That's just keeps kicking enemies backwards.
You look at them and you look at a wall and you go, like, I'll pick the wall.
You're going to have to fight dinosaurs, basically, to deal with this guy. So these two are very powerful.
Yes. Now we need a boon.
Okay, a boon to the party... that's not a command-style boon.
No. I think this should be based on what you do. This should be a boon that you grant your allies for a turn based on you doing a thing.
I just had a thought.
Yes.
As an opportunity action, an ally can disengage closer to you.
Share the ranks?
Yeah, just if they're granted an opportunity action, they can forego it to just disengage one closer to you.
I don't think that's good enough. I think you put this on your heraldry based on the amount. I think once per turn, if you make an opportunity attack, someone gets to disengage towards you.
Hmm. I think that's less good.
I was thinking, what if you're just so inspiring that they get...
You still get the opportunity attack.
That's true.
That, and I think that's the point. Like, you, I don't want to sacrifice Citadel's ability to do damage through opportunity attacks to gain more stuff. I think that you should just layer stuff on top of that.
I was thinking, if they're just so inspiring that it could help them on the damage tables when you're rolling for
blindness,
psychosis.
We're stepping on command's toes a little bit when it comes down to
inspiration. See, when I think someone who's wearing heraldry
is commanding.
I see them across the battlefield, like everyone can see them.
But this is...
What if it's... If you would take an opportunity attack against an enemy, you can instead grant it to an ally within reach of that enemy.
Oh, I love that.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So now they're, both of those are offensive.
Yes.
Right? But one is replace it with an at will, which has a lot more utility.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can just be like, well, I'm engaged with this enemy. I've
hooked their sword.
Yeah.
I've put it in the ground. And then I was like, hey, dude.
With my bearded axe, I've hooked their shield down, hit him in the face. Yeah. It feels like it's stepping on command's toes, except that it's a defensive action totally.
It is.
Opportunity actions are completely defensive.
And also, let's think of a perfectly crafted character in which you are, again, command and Citadel.
Yeah.
And you have both. And... Detective, while that Dr. does Professor sound,
Kelton Mandrew.
Yeah, while that does sound really, really good, of all, Regibald was command and Citadel because it in the opposite direction. While that's good, it's still completely dependent on your party composition for that to be the most effective choice. We're rewarding good construction and interplay, and this is such a late game play that you would have to build your character and shoot for it.
Yeah.
And is it going to be so much better than step 6 command? Is having that extra attack, potentially a turn, going to be as backbreaking as command? I don't know. Command's got some fucking bullshit up its sleeve.
Yeah, I think there's a good argument to say that Citadel... I think all three of those are good. Let's use them. And let's come up with bullshit names for colors that don't exist so people can say whatever it's whatever color they want. In reality, in our world, right?
Well, I almost like the idea of, rather than going specific colors, you go type. Metallic.
Yeah. Does this. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Pastel does this, or like cool and warm. Like metallic, cool and warm.
Day-glow.
No.
Cool, warm, metallic.
Yeah.
I think metallic is the defensive. Blocking. Yeah, for sure. And warm is attacking.
Yes.
And then the other one's opportunity.
Yes.
Okay. So there we go. Metallic, cool, and warm. And then you get to pick. Okay. I like that. So let's do that one. I want to give them a small little feature or something to activate as well. And
that is a base factor of Citadel.
I was thinking something triggers on crits. If you crit a target that's your size or smaller, you can move it one space in any direction.
I would like to change that. For one thing.
What's that?
Your size or one step larger.
Okay, your size or one size larger.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. There's something twice your size or smaller, and you go, fuck you.
And how about this? You may enter the space that it vacated.
I love the idea of a 5'8" humanoid looking at a 10-foot tall thing, going hand to hand with it.
Mm-hmm.
And going, yep.
Yep. Just smacking it.
That feels
it,
like six.
Stomping it.
That feels like six.
Okay. So what do we call that? Surprising shove.
Dominance?
I think something that talks about the movement. You know what
all
I mean?
All right. Yeah.
Because it's a crit, so you're not preparing for it. You can just choose to if you want to.
Yeah.
Use it.
Critical Tide. Shove.
Critical shove.
Yeah. Critical shove. Done.
Solid.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for our episode today, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we hope to crank out more shit soon.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Also, I just want to hang out with these dudes more.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If the game we're making sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/rpgfs. $1 patrons get access to the cutting room floor, where all of the off-topic comedy that was cut out of episodes is curated for your enjoyment. $2 patrons get the updated character sheets that they can use to make their own characters in our system. $5 patrons get access to every rulebook we release as we update them. $10 patrons get to create custom NPCs for use in our actual play podcast, Leyliners. Also, if you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Podchaser and Apple Podcasts. Every review helps. If you want to reach out to us with your gameplay ideas, please comment on our Patreon or tag us on Twitter. We are at Homebrew Hombres. Thank you all again, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.